get down and dirty and find out what life in Gaza and the occupied territories is like, and you'll have a pretty good idea. Where the water runs once in a while, where sewage flows in the street, where food, you know, where dinner one some night is the garbage from the night before.
This is the Quality News Network. Following a New York Times story suggesting a Bush administration debate on a troop pullout, Iraqi officials today predicted total civil war. Baghdad says security forces are not ready to take over the battle against insurgents. The U.S. Senate resumes debate today over Iraq war funding. The deliberations could last as long as 2 weeks. In Iraq, civilians are being urged to fight back following a weekend in which as many as 250 died in sectarian violence. This morning, in and around Baghdad, 8 people were killed, 23 wounded. Also this weekend, 2 U.S. soldiers were killed and another 3 wounded. A British soldier also died Saturday. Wildfires continue to scorch the western U.S., in South Dakota, 9 acres and 27 homes have been destroyed. One person has died. Firefighters are battling the largest wildfire in Utah's history. Thousands have been evacuated in California, Arizona, Washington, and Nevada. Fires continue in Colorado, Idaho, Montana, and Oregon. Cleanup efforts today in Kansas, Texas, and Oklahoma hit by flooding last week. Thousands were forced from their homes. At least 17 were killed. Pakistan's president today agreed to give clerics more time to negotiate the end to a standoff between government forces and insurgents holed up in a prominent capital city mosque. Reportedly, more than 300 people have died during the week-long siege. A landmark meeting will be held this week between Israeli diplomats and members of the 22-country Arab League. The summit will focus on a peace initiative in the government of Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. Israel released 250 Palestinian prisoners yesterday. In Vienna today, the UN's nuclear watchdog agency voted to send experts to help North Korea shut down its nuclear reactor. A date for the mission has not been released yet. On Capitol Hill, a former White House aide is scheduled to testify Wednesday before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Sarah Taylor will address the firings of federal prosecutors. Pennsylvania's governor has temporarily laid off a third of the state's employees following a breakdown in budget negotiations in the legislature. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
This is a top to a, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
oh,
11,
and most
11,
of the
and
amps
11.
Go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
Hey, everybody. It's Thursday, and it's actually Friday here in Australia, but welcome aboard Foxed Up, everybody. Oh, my. Geez, where to start? Well, first of all, I just have to say, Gail and I went out before the show tonight. Well, mine tonight, your morning. Well, depending on where you are on this beautiful blue marble. And, you know, in this modern age of the internet, we have this thing that happens now. You end up building these relationships, you know, friendships with people that you tend not to actually meet face to face. I mean, this network is an amazing example of that. You know, I have this, you know, I've got this entire family of people that are just like so important to me and part of my daily lives who I've never actually set eyes on. And earlier tonight, Gail and I went into the city and actually caught up with a correspondence via StumbleUpon that Gail's been talking to for ages, and we met this gentleman Stephen and his daughter down in Sydney. They were in town. They live up in Brisbane, and we went out for a bite to eat and had a great time, and I think they might even be listening on the laptop in their hotel room. If you are, howdy. It was great, really, really nice. And you know, it's kind of funny. You know, in the mainstream media, there's usually all kinds of scare stories out there, you know, because you hear terrible things that happen with children and chat rooms and all this other kind of stuff. But there is the other side of it. You know, you can end up finding out a whole lot about people when you do things like, you know, some of these networking sites and groups where, we have cats getting involved in the engineering over here. Please don't knock anything over. Anyway, but you know, you even more than in a face-to-face kind of getting to know someone conversation, you know, when you're trading back stories and interest things and politics, you can find out a lot about people, and you can kind of find out before you actually go and meet them for dinner whether or not this is someone you actually would want to have a face-to-face conversation with. And so anyway, you know, it was one of these rare opportunities, and it was just really great. You know, it was only a couple of hours. You know, after work we hopped on the train, and that was an adventure as it can be. And the cat's knocking things off of the shelves because my studio is a disaster at the moment. Thank you, Chico. I'll let you out in the first break, I promise. Anyway, so, jeez, it's chaos in here. And so, you know, that was that. So, there was really disturbing stuff in the news here in Australia today. And I will get into it in detail. And before I go there, actually, as a programming note, we have a double shot of Mr. Billy Shears this week, and we will be having one right after our first break today. And I do believe we're having the second installment of his John Lennon specials, which I think you will enjoy. But as usual, tomorrow being Friday, we will be doing the normal Billy Shears slot, so we will have another one tomorrow. Anyway, this morning, you know, I actually didn't have to go into the city this morning, first time in a while. I got to kind of be a little bit lazy while Gail was getting ready for work, and we had the morning news on, and there's details of a Howard speech leaked, and that Howard is going to announce that the Iraq war is actually all about oil. And sure enough, he gives a speech today, and the foreign minister comes out today saying that Australia's, you know, current and continued involvement in the Iraq conflict is to secure Australia's oil supply. Now, we all knew this. We've all known this for, you know, for 5 years. But, you know, first, you know, it was WMDs that weren't there, and then it was, you know, we got to get rid of Saddam, this evil dictator that we supported and created. And then, you know, it's about bringing democracy to the Iraqis, because don't the Iraqis deserve a democracy? And we all know that democracy has never been brought by the barrel of a gun. It's been taken by the people who want it. And so they've actually come out and said this. And we've been kind of talking about this all day, trying to figure out, okay, what is the point of actually saying this now? You know, why now? Why after 5 years? You know, have they run out of possible excuses? Have they run out of you know, just nonsense rationale? Have they run out of, has their creativity run so short that they can't come up with anything else except for admitting part of the truth, which was to grab a hold of the control of this huge supply of oil? And I, you know, I've been just kind of racking my brain, just sitting there thinking, you know, as with many things, you know, I have to ask the question, who does this serve, or what purpose does this serve? And actually, I think the answer in a couple of short lines came in a comment thread on my friend Tim Dunlop's blog over at news.com, news.com.iu. Now, Tim Dunlop is, I've mentioned him numerous times before on this program. He's a really good friend of mine down in Adelaide, South Australia, and he is the founder of roadtosurfdom.com, and that wonderful, wonderful blog ended up getting him hired by, of all people, Murdoch. And even when they hired him, he asked the person involved and says, "Have you read my blog?" And they're going, "Yeah, we love it." And going, "Okay." And you know, now that he's been writing for you know, the Murdoch news site, he hasn't pulled a punch. Nothing's changed. He's still doing the same thing. You know, going as hard at Howard and Bush and Blair and whoever might, you know, need to get their head hammered, and he hasn't pulled back an inch. And in fact, since Tim is now, you know, a paid blogger for a legitimate mainstream news site, he has kind of hired on a few other writers to maintain serfdom, and they've kept the tradition going. They're doing a great job. One guy has a blog spot called The Australian, and which is really, really good, and he cross posts and yada 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 yada. But Road to Serfdom, it's an excellent blog. I'll get to this comment after we do the whole Shears thing, but you know, I really, really couldn't come up with a rationale for this announcement, and it was made so matter-of-factly, and suddenly, you know, the oil thing is a security concern, and I mean, you know, it is, especially when you have a government that refuses to invest in any alternatives whatsoever in any real substantive way. You know, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that the coal industry in this country has a stranglehold on government. You know, as far as the profiteering with the right wingers and the miners' jobs with the Labor Party. And you know, there's legislation that, you know, if Joe Blow in some small community ends up making a biomass plant, if he produces more than a certain amount of electricity, he has to pay a stipend back to the coal industry for their loss of profit. That's why they call it a coal mafia here. You know, the ABC did a great piece on them a while back, and they almost weren't able to air it because the coal mafia was just wanting to, you know, they wanted to make legal moves because the truth was going to be released. So anyway, I'm going to come back and actually read the details of the defense minister, Mr. Brendan Nelson, who's a complete twit. He's screwed up every portfolio he's ever had, after we do Shear's music. So I think it's time to take this first break here, Mr. Kincaid. And when we come back, Billy Shear's music, and you'll love this. It's another one of the John Lennon special. Wow. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice, and we will be right back after this with Billy Shears.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away. No any courses like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious.
It's with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office, 1-888-384-5249.
I was talking about the Republican debate. So we'll get to the point where we're going to drag a terrorist out to the stage with the Republicans, and they're all going to take turns kicking him in the nuts and see who the audience cheers for the most. That's going to determine who's going to be the Republican candidate. Because that's what they are. Kick him in the nuts. How do they do that on South Park? Rochambeau. They're going to Rochambeau the terrorists.
Come on, rub my nipples while I torture this little piggy.
Now that sounds pretty sweet to me.
The Cup of Joe radio show with your host, the working man's thinking man, Joe Vecchio. 11 a.m. to noon weekdays here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
If you heard the spot that aired this past week, you may recall that I used the theme song from the TV show, The Courtship of Eddie's Father. Well, the artist who wrote and performed the song was Harry Nilsson, and his buddy that heckled the Smothers Brothers was none other than John Lennon. But we'll get to that soon. One One of the biggest admirers of the Lennon-McCartney songwriting team was Harry Nilsson. The song you are hearing is a track he did incorporating many of their hit songs. To produce some tracks for his Pussycats LP. It was recorded at the record plant in L.A. Now, this is at the beginning of John's infamous 18-month lost weekend, after Yoko told him to get out and find himself again. Here's media expert and longtime friend of the Lens, Elliot Mintz.
For the first few months, John takes the ouster like most guys. He dives into a bottle.
Nobody loves you. Now,
during the Pussycat sessions, John, Harry, Ringo Starr, and Keith Moon all share a house on the beach in nearby Santa Monica. Occasionally, their alcohol-fueled antics make the news, the most notorious incident being the night in March when John, with a sanitary napkin stuck to his forehead, and Harry get thrown out of the Troubadour nightclub for heckling the Smothers Brothers. Appearing on the BBC's Old Grey Whistle test show in February 75, John recalls the incident.
I got drunk and shouted. You know, it was the first night I drank Brandy Alexander's, which is brandy and milk, folks. And I was with Harry Nilsson, who didn't quite get as much coverage as me. The bum. And he really encouraged me. You know, there was, I usually have somebody there that says, okay, Lennon, shut up. And I take it, you know. But I didn't have anybody around me to say, shut up. And I just went on and on. And they just sort of said, okay, you better leave, Mr. Lennon. They took me out. So I was drunk. When it's Errol Flynn, you know, all them showbiz writers say, those were the days when we had Sinatra and Errol Flynn socking it to the people, you know, the real men. I do it, and I'm a bum. So it was a mistake, but hell, you know, well, I'm human, you know.
Mucho mongo,
one of the songs Nilsson recorded for his Pussycats LP was a Lennon tune called Mucho Mongo, which John never recorded for release himself. Here's a version of Mucho Mongo recorded by John Lennon in his home. Listen carefully to the intro for a squawk by an infant named Sean Lennon.
Mucho Mongo. Thank you.
shocking people. Go. Mucho
this is Bill Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
And thank you, Mr. Shears. That footage that you have is just amazing. Just amazing. And only from you would I hear about John Lennon having a sanitary napkin on his head and getting out of control. It's trivia you never really knew you wanted to know, but there you go. You got it. Wow, an 18-month bender. Imagine the hangover from that. Wow. And meanwhile, we have a president that's been on a 5-year bender. Oy vey. Boy, speaking of music, just to go completely on something, you know, unimportant. When we come back from the break that we're going to take in a little bit, you're going to hear a bumper from something that I've just recently replaced replaced in my collection. It's been missing for a long time, and it's kind of one of those seminal bands in my history. And it's a band called Mother Love Bone, and a few of you out there might know who they are. Two of the guys from Mother Love Bone are what ended up becoming Pearl Jam. Now, this is another one of those really unfortunate stories where, you know, you lose someone that way too soon to the ugliness of smack. And, you know, this is something that unfortunately has happened throughout the history of music. And the lead singer of this band was a guy by the name of Mr. Andrew Wood. Now, Andrew Wood, the best I can describe him would be a cross between, and this was in the late 90s, was a cross between, or actually early 90s, cross between David Lee Roth, Mark Bolan, and Freddie Mercury. You know, he's a bit of a rock god personality, but he had this star child kind of thing going on, and he was always talking about, you know, love rock awaits you, baby. And, you know, he's a real flamboyant kind of character. And only days, they released an EP as they were building up their following in Seattle, and they really were becoming the band in Seattle. And these guys are all friends with the guys from Soundgarden and Alice in Chains. I mean, this is all part of this, you know, community that ended up becoming what was known as grunge. And only days before the release of their first and only full-length record, Andrew Wood falls into a coma from an overdose. And after 3 or 4 days, he was taken off life support. And for those of you who are familiar with Alice in Chains, one of their biggest tunes was a song called Wood. And that song is written for Andrew Wood. And there, every once in a while you hear tracks on this program, and there's actually one on Prayer Meeting from Temple of the Dog. And that entire album was basically a big chill for Chris Cornell and the drummer from Soundgarden, a couple of guys from what became Pearl Jam. And Eddie Vedder actually did a track on there called Hunger Strike, and that was pretty much his audition for Pearl Jam. And so I'm really happy to have this album back in my collection. You know, it's he wasn't the greatest singer in the world, but there was something about the guy, and there's something also very Hendrix-esque about the guitar attack of this band. So when we come back, I'm gonna let Bob roll, let the track roll for a little bit, just because I don't know. I got a hold of the album and I dumped it in the MP3 player, and I was heading to work. and heading for the train, and I stick the headphones in. And I can't explain to you why, but I seriously was having to hold back a tear from my eyes just because it was like, when this was happening was when I was playing a lot. I had my band in Texas, and we were doing really well. These were our peers, and, losing people like this, losing Lane Staley, I still am naive enough to believe that one day music will save this world. And, something was lost, and he left his mark. He left his mark without being able to do all that very much. So anyway, we're going to take this break. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And when we come back, you're going to hear a little bit of Mother Love Bone. Great stuff. So stick around, folks. You're on America's Liberal Voice, the Head On Radio Network, and we will be back.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. I'm not patriotic, I'm anti-patriotic. I believe the unnatural, inculcated idea that we call patriotism has actually stacked the corpses millions high over the last couple hundred years. Nothing to celebrate if you ask me. But if you believe our country's great, and if that makes your heart swell with pride, please do me a favor and examine why you think this country's great. Are we great because we've got 10,000 nuclear weapons? No, that just makes us powerful. Are we great because we spend $500 billion a year on our War Department? More than the next 15 countries combined? No, that just makes us profligate. Are we great because we're 1/20th of the world's population, but we consume 1/4 of the world's resources? Nah, that just makes us greedy. Look, to the extent that we're a great nation, we're great because of the Bill of Rights, which protects our individual liberties, and because of the separation of powers, which limits oppressive government. Unfortunately, it's precisely those two great features that George Bush and Dick Cheney have been bloodying up and besmirching. So this July 4th, if you love the best of what the flag stands for, you ought to press for the impeachment of Bush and Cheney. That's your patriotic duty. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
It wasn't exactly planes, trains, and automobiles on Head On with Bob Kincaid.
This is what the Bush administration Justice Department didn't want you to see back in 2001. They took out and they huffed the marker a little bit, and then they went, oh, cool. And they wiped out the name where it says, the plane was chartered either by the Saudi Arabian royalty family or Osama bin Laden. Somebody's got to call up and say, good afternoon. Thank you for calling Ryan International Flights. How may I help you?
Hello. This is Osama bin Laden, and I would like to rent a Boeing 727. Do you have one handy?
Oh, just a moment. Let me chat. It's a Mr. Bin Laden wants to know if we got a 727. Do we, Harry, do we have a 727?
Yeah, we got a 727 just sitting there on the lot. Going cheap.
There's nothing here, nothing to look at. Keep moving. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, the 6'7" Arab with the portable dialysis machine and the white robes.
Somebody's trying to make me
Head On with Bob Kincaid, weeknights, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Head On Radio Network.
Bit of Mother Love Bone. And yeah, okay, Bob, I'll give you, there's a little bit of Axl Rose there, but I don't think Andrew would have ever turned into the wanker that Axl Rose did. And boy, he actually, Guns N' Roses, or Axl and nothing that resembles Guns N' Roses, just was touring here in Australia. And it, no, I've heard some very Guns and Idiots. Very good, Bob. We always used to refer to them as Buns and Hoses or Coke and Noses. But I heard some really, really negative reviews of the Guns and Roses of today. And I'm sorry, you know. I actually thought that first Guns N' Roses record was fantastic, and it was very anti the cock rock of the day. You know, it was loose, it was a bit dirty, it was very bluesy. And then they were a band that just became a parody of themselves after that. It's just like there's certain situations where you end up with too much money to play with, and you lose all track of everything that made you good. But then again, we were all sold a bill of goods, because you have to realize that the record company and production people that put Guns N' Roses together, they were a band put together by the record label. Okay? Not many people realize this. They are the same people that created Matchbox 20. Yeah, just like the Monkees. But, you know, not that all manufactured things can, you know, are necessarily bad. You know, that was also, you also have to realize, you know, there was David Geffen involved with that, and David Geffen has always been about music. I mean, he's one of the few label guys that I have a lot of respect for, because, I mean, he's created so many labels over the years, because every time it gets so big that he stops going out and seeing and signing bands, he sells the label off and starts over. Because he said, you know, he said it many times. He says, you know, I started doing this because I love to go and see bands play. And as soon as the business gets so big that I'm no longer going and seeing bands play, what is the point? And we need more of that. But anyway, you're going to hear a little bit more of Mother Love Bone over the coming weeks. I've got one particular track that should end up popping up in a prayer meeting edition at some point, and but I'll save that for Mr. Kincaid. It's just classic. There's a classic bit of lyric, but anyway, but there you probably could hear a bit of, you know, shades of Pearl Jam in there, and well, it's because it's bass player and one of the guitar players' names are just going straight out of my head at the moment. That were part of that band, and Andrew Wood left quite a mark. And if you've ever seen still one of my favorite, you know, light films ever, the film Singles. There are bits of, because it was shot not long after all that, and it was the height of the grunge era, that there's all this authentic Mother Love Bone graffiti all over Seattle. Tim, what's his name, who plays the singer and the band guy where Pearl Jam is the rest of his band. His character is definitely, you know, kind of molded on Andrew Wood. The really bad singing thing that he does over the telephone to the girl that he's after sounds just like Andrew Wood. But anyway, getting on to the silliness of the day. So from news.com.au, the PM outlines plans to keep troops in Iraq. The defense minister today listed the security of the world's oil supply as one of the major reasons for Australia's continuing military presence in Iraq, as John Howard spelled out plans to keep troops in the country. The prime minister said Islamic extremists remained a threat to Australia, and it would be against our national character to let terrorists prevail. He had again ruled out any timetable for withdrawing soldiers from the country plagued by sectarian conflict and regular deadly attacks against coalition forces. But Kevin Rudd comes in. Opposition leader Kevin Rudd accused the government of making up its policy as it goes, saying the war had made Australia a greater terrorist attack and jeopardized global oil supplies. Defense Minister Brendan Nelson said this morning, the role of the defense forces, including protecting the economy as well as physical security, and it was important to support the prestige of the United States and the UK. The prestige? As if the United States has any prestige left in this world at the moment. He continues on, Dr. Nelson said energy security was extremely important to all nations. We need to ensure, notwithstanding the significant natural resources that our country has been blessed with, that we are able to access the energy requirements in our region and throughout the world, he said on ABC Radio. We will, if we allow Iraq and the Middle East not to have some sort of sustainability in the future, sustainability, amongst many other things, that will affect the energy supply for many nations, including developing nations throughout the world. In a major speech outlining the government's defense priorities today, Mr. Howard said Australian troops needed to stay in Iraq to support the U.S. Our major ally and our most important economic partners have crucial interests there. Despite the dreadful continuing violence and our frustrations at the rate of political progress, the government remains committed to staying in Iraq with our coalition partners until the Iraqi security forces no longer require our support. Grr. How many ways can I just say grr? You know, this just screams of, you know, what the? Pardon me? You know, so we're now, you know, because it is now officially a massive, massive quagmire, and the world realizes that this was misguided, illegal, immoral, we're just going to now say, really, that, you know, Operation, you know, Iraqi, you know, what is it? Operation Iraqi Liberation Oil was actually all about the oil, and it's all supposed to be okay now? Now, Mr. Dunlop, as I mentioned before, Mr. Howard cannot do much of anything and contradict himself without Tim pointing it out, and he does a wonderful job at it. And I'll actually say this: we'll take our last break for today, and when we come back, I'm gonna show you where Mr. Dunlop throws it right back at Johnny Howard and says, "What did you say? And what did you say when? And what did you say before that? You numbnuts!" So stick around, folks. We'll be right back. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. We'll Bring It On Home. And, yeah, we'll be back right after this.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Goofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com. A place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Ah, yeah, Tom Petty. Nice one, Bob. All right, welcome back, everybody. We're going to wrap this up, but I just got to go. And if you've never gone and checked out Tim's blog, you know, aside from Road to Serfdom, which is, you know, surf as in surfboard, not the other surf, his pay-for gig, you can get it news.com.au, and if you go to blogs.news.com.au and click on Blogocracy, and the comment threads on this blog, I reckon, are just as good as reading the stuff that comment is free at The Guardian. He gets some great stuff. But the post about this whole thing with it's now about the oil, kids. He says, if you don't like the government's reasons for staying in Iraq, just wait 4 months. Back in September 2002, 6 months before he announced the Australian involvement in the invasion of Iraq, just after the invasion itself had actually started, Mr. Howard was asked a question by a radio caller about any action that might take place. The caller says, "Well, good morning, Mr. Howard. As far as I'm aware, the U.S. are high consumers of oil. Do they have an ulterior motive into focusing so heavily on Iraq?" Tim says, "In other words, could one of the reasons for American involvement in Iraq have anything to do with securing supplies of oil to help meet their own high demand?" Mr. Howard was unequivocal. The Prime Minister said, "I don't believe that charge can be validly made. Of course, they are a high consumer of oil. They get their oil from Saudi Arabia, I think is their main source of supply in the Middle East. Some people might even argue that oil supplies could be put under some kind of cloud if there is any kind of action or military conflict. I don't believe for a moment that this is America's motivation on this." So Jim says, So no, any action in Iraq would have nothing to do with securing oil supplies. As recently as March this year, the PM gave a speech billed as his definitive statement on the issue of why we remain in Iraq, and again, securing oil supplies wasn't mentioned. Which brings us to today. The PM is set to give yet another definitive speech on the topic, on our presence in Iraq, but this time, a mere 4 months after the last definitive speech, oil security is suddenly a reason for us being there. So did they just not notice this issue up until now? Has something happened since March that has suddenly made this a priority? Or did they just keep this factor secret from us till now? There must be some reason they haven't mentioned it. In fact, have denied it up until now, mustn't there? And one of the commenters, like I said, I've been trying to figure out what this is all about. Why has this come up now? Now, here is probably it. You know, just like in the United States, the conservatives always say you can't trust Democrats with the economy. You know, they're gonna spend us in the deficit, and well, you get the same kind of crap here. They go, watch out, your mortgage is gonna go through the roof if labor gets in. And well, here it is. A commenter I think has nailed it on the head. Someone says, I smell a Howard fear and misinformation campaign. As the election gets closer, it will be, not in so few words, if labor withdraws from Iraq, you will pay even higher prices for petrol. Classic rodent. And I think that nails it on the head. He's going to try and spin this thing as, we have to stay at war or else you're not going to be able to afford to drive your bloody SUV in the city. And we've been trying to figure out what kind of crap he's going to pull out of his hat this time around. So I mentioned the other day about his sudden concern for the Aboriginal children in the Northern Territory, when actually it's really just a cover story for a land grab to get a hold of the land where a lot of the uranium is and take away the land rights from the indigenous people of this country. And here is another ratbag move. And I really, really wonder, did Bush know about this announcement that was going to be made? Because, and you know, will the U.S. media pick up on this at all? One of the coalition is saying that it's about oil. I doubt it. I sincerely doubt it. And I also found it interesting that the day that this speech is made and all that happens to be the day that the USS Kitty Hawk and its battle group pulled into Cindy Harbor. Don't ask me, it's all about this, the American alliance thing, you know. And why is the battle group even here? Actually, Bob just asked me in the chat room if I've seen these PSAs in Australia, and I have, Bob. We have a lot of problems with young drivers around here, or at least the media makes a lot of it, you know, kids drag racing and speeding around, and they've done these really great PSAs with you know, there's that little motion that people women will do to men, you know, with their pinky, you know, that kind of like that guy's got a small Johnson kind of thing, and that's what they're using as, no one thinks big of you for speeding. And they see these guys hooning around, and then there's like, you know, this old lady sitting there looking at him, you know, doing the little pinky finger move. It's hysterical, absolutely hysterical. That's one thing that they actually do very, very well here in Australia, I must say. When from time to time they come up with these public service announcement campaigns that are really, really creative, and they come up with some very, very, I don't know, dark or sarcastic kind of, campaigns to drive a point home. They've done these things before. They had a whole campaign about don't be a tosser, and that was about not throwing your cigarette butts down the drains in the street. It's hysterical. So I guess these things have probably made it to YouTube then, if Bob's seen them in the States. they're really quite good, and the big one, which I don't think has aired yet. MSNBC showed it. Wow. They've gotten one of the hot blonde Australian models to front this campaign. And like I've always said, you know, these gearheads that live with their four-wheeled penis extensions are just making up for their lackings. And there was a study, I remember reading this about 15 years ago, that said mechanics and gearheads in the United States had twice the impotence rates of the general population. You decide. Oh, but anyway, go at today's show post. There's links to Tim's blog. There's also links to the story about the speeches, with them saying that, you know, the Iraq war is about oil. Post them, email them, send them round, get the word out that actually someone involved in the coalition has actually admitted the truth about what this is about. And let's see if we can get this out there, because I think this is something that we should be jumping on. All, you know, just get on it and let's see if we can use this to tear this thing open again, because I'll tell you, the Scooter Libby thing has me outraged, and it's not that particular event, but it's just reminding me how criminal this entire administration and this regime is, and how absolutely poisonous and deadly they are. So with that, I thank Bob Kincaid for producing today. Thanks a lot, mate. Thanks to Ben Birch at the White Rose Society for the streaming and our archives. Thank you to our bloggers and our mods for everything that they do for us every single day. And thank you to everyone that's made donations to the network since we started that campaign. It's been rather, wow. I'm just taken aback, and I thank you so much, seriously. And please keep them coming if you can, because, you know, we never came out to beg, but, you know, the reality is it costs money to do this stuff. And, and it's not like we're looking for a paycheck. We'll wait until we get real financing for that. So anyway, folks, thanks to Scott Berry at B1 Ladder Productions for the music. Thank you, Billy Shears, for another great segment. We got another one tomorrow. And thank you to you for spending this time with me every day. We'll try and do some green stuff tomorrow, but I had to cover this oil thing. Cup of Joe Radio Show coming up next. Mr. Joe Vecchio, the working man's thinking man. And as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green, and we will see you tomorrow.
I would stop thinking about music and politics. I would tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment. Tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid.
This is the Quality News Network. Wildfires continue to scorch the western U.S. In South Dakota, 9 acres and 27 homes have been destroyed. One person has died. Firefighters are battling the largest wildfire in Utah's history. Thousands have been evacuated in 8 other states. Cleanup efforts today in Kansas, Texas, and Oklahoma hit by flooding last week. Thousands were forced from their homes. At least 17 have been killed. Following a New York Times story suggesting a Bush administration debate on a troop pullout, Iraqi officials today predicted total civil war. Baghdad says security forces are not ready to take over the battle against insurgents. The U.S. Senate resumes debate today over Iraq war funding. The deliberations could last as long as 2 weeks. In Iraq, civilians are being urged to fight back following a weekend in which as many as 250 died in sectarian violence. This morning, in and around Baghdad, 12 people were killed, 35 wounded. Also this weekend, 2 U.S. soldiers were killed and another 3 wounded. A British soldier also died Saturday. At the last minute, U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates has canceled his Latin America trip to prepare next week's Pentagon report on the president's Iraqi surge strategy. In Vienna today, the U.N.'s nuclear watchdog agency voted to send experts to help North Korea shut down its nuclear reactor. A date for the mission has not been released yet. A London jury today convicted 3 men of conspiring to murder British citizens in a failed transport system bombing 2 years ago. The jury has not reached agreement on 3 other suspected terrorists allegedly involved in the same incident. The Washington Post